You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
But we're gonna look in 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we're really gonna get started in verse 8. But let me set up the story for you real quick. Back when Saul was the king, he went back on a covenant that he had with the Gibeonites. And when he went back on that covenant, it made them real mad. They're upset. And now, years later, there's a drought in the land, and there's a bunch of issues, and David doesn't know how to fix them. And so David, trying to figure out what to do, goes and he talks to the Gibeonites because he realizes that Saul has messed everything up. So when he goes and talks to the Gibeonites say, first of all, they say, we don't want to kill nobody, but if you could give us some of Saul's descendants, we could kill them and hang them up, and that may make restitution for what happened. Now, I want you to notice, if you go back and read this story later, you'll notice that David never does inquire of the Lord. He never prays about it, never talks to God, never goes to the preacher. He just goes out and starts making deals with these people outside of what might be the will of God. So, as the story goes, David goes out and finds 7 descendants of Saul and turns them over to the Gibeonites. And that's where we're going to pick up the story right here in verse 8. It says, so the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she had borne to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal, daughter of Saul, who she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the somebody. That part's not really important to the story. Verse 9, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest and in the first days in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. Let's pause right there. Rizpah has her sons murdered, and she goes out, and basically what is going on here is they've taken them on poles naked and dead and hung them up. They hang them on these poles, and this is like the ultimate punishment for people in the Bible times, was to be exposed to the elements, to be exposed to the wild, to not just be killed. Death is not really the punishment here. It's the exposure. It's the fact that they get no final resting place. They're expected to be torn apart by the animals and the birds, and they never get a resting place of their own. Rizpah goes out and says, I've got to do something. The Bible says she takes sackcloth and puts it out on a rock, and she camps out there. For 5 months, she camps out there. That is one tough mother. That is one tough mother. She is willing to camp out on a rock for 5 months to protect her babies. I know all you moms in here today probably have great stories of things that your kids will never know about, right? Times when you prayed your child through something, your child will never know all the prayers you prayed, will never know all the things you did to protect them. I can't even go back and think about all the different things that I'm sure my mom did for me that made me mad, but looking back on it, I'm so glad she did. Right, kids? We all know that. I remember my mom one time, it's this one specific moment, I remember being at the upstairs of our house where I grew up. I don't know what I was doing, watching TV, playing a video game, something. I was a kid. And I remember my mom's door being closed. And she didn't know I was up there, but I remember her in her room praying her guts out for me and my brother. And I'll never forget that as long as I live, because it showed me what my mom was willing to do for me. That it wasn't all about the discipline and all about the show. It was all about what she was doing in private for my life. And so today I want to honor her by preaching a message about moms, not just for moms. See, we could preach something to moms, but look, you don't need to be a better mom. I mean, I'm not going to teach you how to be a better mom. I'm a dad. I'm not even a great dad. I'm just a dad. I can't teach you how to be a good mom, right? That's not my job. My job is just preach the word. And today with Rizpah's story, I think there's something that each and every one of us can get and can understand. Whether you're a mom, dad, child, whatever it is that you are today, I believe there's something for you in this word. So let's move on. I want you to understand today, first of all, this is the key to the whole message, key to the whole series. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. I tried to figure out who said that first, because I know it's a famous quote, it's a popular quote, and you know what? It's not attributed to anybody that I could find. As a matter of fact, it's attributed to like 10 or 12 people. So if it's attributed to a lot of people, it's attributed to all of us, and I can claim it as my own, right, Daniel? So we'll just quote me today saying, anything worth having is worth fighting for. Life is a fight and a battle. If you want something great, if you want a great marriage, you're going to have to fight for it. If you want great kids, you're going to have to fight for them. If you want a great purpose and a great destiny, you're going to have to fight for it. It's not going to come easy. We keep hearing all these thoughts of, you know, nowadays with little kids, we give them trophies for everything. That's right. My daughter plays in a baseball league where they don't, or softball league, they don't keep score. My son plays in a soccer league that doesn't keep score. Guess who does keep score? I went out to one of the games. I got tired of writing it all down. I downloaded a free app that's a scorekeeper app, and I could keep score. I knew exactly what the score was, who won, and how many goals my son scored. So after the game, everybody's like, great game. I'm like, it was a better game for us because we beat y'all's tails. My son scored twice. And so I get excited about that. I don't like the fact that we just give everybody, oh, you did wonderful today. You lost by 30 points. Here's a trophy. You know, in my opinion, if you lose, you don't get cookies at the end of the game. I would be an awful coach. I would be a bad coach. My son one time played T-ball, and I was one of his coaches. And I realized very quickly I should never coach anything, ever. And the next year, the coach called me and said, hey, Mr. Wright, would you like to be one of the coaches of the baseball team? I said, no, I love my son way too much, and I want him to continue to love me. So I could not do it. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. We can't just give away trophies for everybody. Not everybody in this room is going to have a great life. Some of you are going to struggle. You're going to have battles. You're going to not always get checks in the mail. Like we hear great stories of people getting a check in the mail, and I love it. I wish I got checks in the mail. But it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you have to work for your money. Amen? Sometimes you have to get two jobs. Sometimes you have to go out and you got to do whatever it takes to take care of your family, to take care of your people, to do whatever it is that you got to do to succeed. It's going to take work. It doesn't come easy. For Rizpah, it wasn't easy. It was a battle. It was a fight. Let me give you three things about Rizpah that I think we all need in our life today. Holy cow. Ha, still coming. It was a fight to preach a message today. The big spider tried to get me. But I conquered, I think. He's dead. It's always bad whenever you step on a spider twice. You know, you want to get him the first time. That second time, I'm not afraid of him the first time I step on him. It's that second time I think, uh-oh. Got the old zombie spider. He might get up on my leg. I can't stop him. All right, I'm sure I was preaching. Okay, three things I want you to know about my girl Rizpah. Number one, she was devoted to her family. What does it mean to be devoted? To be devoted means to have something set apart. It means love. It means that she is sold out for her kids. Even though they're dead, she is devoted to her family. Now here's something I want you to notice in the story. Is it says that there was two mothers, right? We just read there was two mothers. There's Rizpah, but then there's this other mother. Rizpah only had two kids hanging up. The other mother had five sons hanging up there. Now listen, different translations read this differently, and so no one's really sure exactly who the other mother was. Some people think it's a lady named Merab, but then some people think it's a lady named Michael. And if you look in here, it says, verse 8, it says, and five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, who we all know was the wife of David. But whenever she criticized David for dancing before the Lord, the Bible says from that point forward, she became barren And the Bible never calls her the wife of David again, only calls her the daughter of Saul. That's quite a punishment. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for somebody else. Doesn't say she bore them. Now with Rizpah's kids, it says she bore them. But with Michal, it says she brought them up. In other words, I don't think she was quite as devoted to those five boys as Rizpah was to her two. Why? Because Rizpah went through the fight of giving birth to those boys. Rizpah went through the fight of actually raising those boys. Those boys were a part of who she was. Michal just brought up these other kids. Y'all hang them up and kill them, that's fine. I'll stay home. Rizpah said, I'm devoted to these boys. I'm devoted to my relatives. I'm going to be there. I'll fight for my two kids, and I'll fight for her five kids. I will be there because I'm devoted. I love my babies. Mamas, how many of you love your babies, right? I know, mamas, you're like a mama bear sometimes. Somebody messes with your kids, you're wanting to go jump on them. I will say this about my mom, though, on the other hand. One time when I was a young junior high youth pastor, you guys know my story, some of you do. When I started out, I was in high school as a junior high pastor. I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but I was a junior high pastor. I'd get up and preach every Sunday night to these bunch of junior high kids, and kids were getting saved and being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we had a great time. And I tried to do things the best way I knew how, which was not very good because I was in high school. And so I decided to have a party one night for all the junior hires, and we were going to all wear pajamas. And I put on the flyer, wear your pajamas, .. Don't come naked. I thought that was funny. One mom did not think it was funny. And the mama bear in her rose up and chewed me out for like 10 minutes right in the middle of the church. After church was over, we're standing back there and she is just letting me have it. And I looked over with this look like, somebody help me, please. And I caught my mother's eye and I thought, oh, this is it. Mama's about to come to the defense of her baby. And Mama looked at me and went, so anyways, and just kept on talking. I said, Mom, what in the world were you thinking? Why didn't you come help me? She said, well, I thought you had to grow up sometime. And oh, that ain't the time, man. I read Mom this story about Rizpah. I said, you need to read this. Devotion, here. Rizpah was devoted. She was in love with her kids. Listen, there's not much I can say about that except we've got to be devoted to something. You've got to be devoted to your family, right? Number two, Rizpah was determined. Listen, she was willing to endure the elements and the wild. I don't know how you feel about camping. I love to camp. But I'm going to be totally honest with you. A five-month camping trip is not exactly what I want to be on. A five-month camping trip, sitting in front of seven rotting carcasses, not fun. A five-month camping trip, having to fight off birds and wild beasts, and all you've got is a piece of sackcloth, that doesn't sound like the kind of camping trip I want to go on. But this lady was determined. I have to imagine that every time her friends walked by, because they didn't take these boys and hang them up somewhere off in the back 40. They hung them up probably where everybody could see them, where everybody walked by. And you've got to think that every time one of Rizpah's friends walked by those boys, they saw Rizpah sitting out there and they said, Rizpah, you need to go home. What are you doing out here? That lady, she's lost it. She's in such mourning, she has lost her mind. You need to get out of here, Rizpah. Go home. And I'm sure they started making fun of her. I'm sure little kids would come by and make fun of her. I can't imagine how little sleep she got when all day she's trying to fight off birds and then all night she's looking for animals. 5 months without sleep, 5 months in the weather, in the heat, in the wind, 5 months in a battle, in a fight. Can you imagine the scars and the bruises that Rizpah had to have? She was determined not to fail. Rizpah was out there in the middle of it all. The next thing that we know about Rizpah is that she demonstrated her love through sacrifice. Rizpah had to give up a royal lifestyle. The Bible says that she was a concubine to King Saul. In other words, she was a part of the royal party. Now look, you don't just get to be a concubine of King Saul because you're a girl. You get to be a concubine because you are the prettiest girl in your town. You were the concubine because you caught the eye of the king. In other words, the king's got good taste, and he ain't just picking out anybody in the room. He's looking for somebody specific, and when he picks you out, it's because you're somebody. Rizpah was beautiful. I can imagine Rizpah as like one of these supermodels. But can you imagine throwing anybody out to the wild for 5 months in the elements? Rizpah probably used to have, you know, just the most beautiful skin. By now, her skin is all leathery and cracked and dried out from the sun and the wind. She used to wear all this makeup, and now all she's got is dirt on her face and streaks of the dirt from all the tears she's cried for 5 months guarding her boys. She used to have beautiful eyes, and now her eyes are bloodshot from all the lack of sleep that she's had. Rizpah used to have probably beautiful fingernails, right? And beautiful hair. Now her hair's all matted, her fingernails worn down to the nubs and bleeding from all the fighting that she's having to do. She's probably got cuts and scrapes and bruises and blood all over her anytime you get in a battle with a bird or a beast. Rizpah was willing to sacrifice everything that she had for her kids. Michael was not. Michael demonstrated her lack of devotion, her lack of determination, her lack of love, whereas Rizpah demonstrated all of her love by standing out there in the middle of it, by being out there for her kids. Here's the great part. And then we're about to get into what we can do. Here's the great part right here. It says in verse 11, "And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had stolen them, where the Philistine had hung them, and after the Philistine struck them down. So he brought the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God heeded the prayer of the land." Rizpah's devotion, determination, and demonstration ended up catching the eye of the king. It was those qualities that Rizpah had, those qualities of one tough mother, the ability for her to fight for what she loved. It was those things that caught the eye of the king and in turn the heart of God. And all of a sudden the land was healed again because one mom decided to have three qualities in her life. Proverbs chapter 3, I like this. And this is good for all of us to understand, but What Rizpah did is exactly what Proverbs chapter 3 says. And who knows, maybe the writer of the Proverbs heard Rizpah's story and ended up using this. It says, "Let love and faithfulness," in verse 3, "let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." It's important for you to know today, if we have those three qualities, we can win favor in the sight of God and man. We can win favor in the sight of God and man. Let me just tell you today, when it comes to those things, what we've got to do, we've got to be willing to fight for what God's given us. I believe God's put a purpose and a destiny in your heart. I believe God's put, some of you, He's given you a wonderful family. He's given you wonderful kids. He's given you wonderful parents. He's given you all kinds of opportunities. Maybe He's given you a wonderful job, and God wants you to fight for everything that He's given you. He doesn't want you to sleep on it. He doesn't want you to get tired of it. He doesn't want you to grumble about it. He wants you to fight for it. He wants you to be devoted. Guys, ladies, we must be devoted to our families. We must pour out love on our families. We've got to be willing to fight for the health and the spiritual life of our families. Let me tell you something about devotion. Devotion means I will do anything for my kids. Yep. And look, it ain't all about getting your kids to be the smartest. I get it. Like, we're going to stay up late. We're going to study with our kids, help our kids learn stuff. That's good. We're going to take our kids to ball games. That's good. We're going to make sure they get to school on time. But what about their spiritual life? Are we devoted to our kids to raise them up in a godly home?
Come on.
We've got to be devoted. Are we devoted to pray for our kids, to fast for our kids, to give our kids everything that they need for a godly life, to fulfill the destiny God's had for them? We've got to be determined. We can't let other stuff deter us from what God wants us to do. When it comes to your calling, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your purpose, whatever it is, we cannot be deterred by anything that would draw us away. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about jobs and stuff like that, and we got to talking about, it's a friend of mine, and he's got these different job opportunities. And I told him, I said, man, let me tell you something my dad always taught me. He always taught me, ask about the money last. Make sure it's God's will first. Because if it's God's will, the money part will take care of itself. But if you find out about all the money, you'll make decisions based on money, not on God's will. You've got to be determined to go after the will of God, to pursue the presence of God, to pursue those things that God has put in your life. And don't let other stuff deter you from that. We've got to be determined. We've got to be willing to face the battle, to face the fight, to face the elements. Whatever may come our way, we've got to say, I will not let go. Pastoring is one of those jobs that is in the top 10 of jobs in America that are the most stressful jobs in the nation. It's up there, I think, next to lawyers. You wouldn't even imagine how many pastors quit. Every week, pastors quit their jobs and they say, look, there's got to be something else I can do. What happened? They weren't determined. They were distracted by problems. They were distracted by storms. They were distracted by potholes. They weren't determined to go after all that God had called them to do. Same thing goes with other jobs. I mean, same thing goes with your job. Same thing goes with your family. There's plenty of times you get distracted and you want to give up. You want to quit. But you cannot be determined. Let me tell you something, moms that are praying for babies that have grown up and they're not serving God. You cannot be deterred by their lack of serving God. You cannot be deterred by their sin. Rizpah wasn't deterred by the death of her boys. You can't be deterred by their sin. You've got to continue to pray, continue to fight off the beast and the birds every single day. We've got to demonstrate our love. We've got to learn to demonstrate our love. My wife could care less if I tell her I love her. She wants me to show her that I love her. My wife and I have these conversations all the time because I'm really good at telling people I love them. Right, babe? I'm good at that. Every day I tell her I love her. Every day I tell her she's beautiful. I love the fact I don't have to lie about that because she is. Every day I tell her that. But not every day do I show her that. Right? Not every day do I show her that. I tell her all the time, but she wants to see it, not just hear it. Same things go with moms. Mom, you can't just tell your baby you love them, right? You got to show them that you love them. Let me tell you something about my kids. My son Gabriel loves his daddy, which is me, in case you didn't know. I just thought about that, how that could sound. My son loves me, and he thinks I'm the greatest thing in the world. That's why I love him so much, right? And I know he loves his mama. Like, we all know he loves his mama, but he doesn't show it like the other two show it. Emma gets up. I will be standing in the kitchen. Emma will walk past me. I'll do this. She will walk straight past me to go find her mama and give her a kiss and tell her good morning. Colt is, he's kind of in between. I haven't won him over all the way yet, but Colt's kind of in between. But Colt loves his mama, and he, when he's getting ready to go to bed, he'll say, mama, come lay down by me, and she'll go lay down by him, and he'll snuggle up and just wiggle and do all that stuff. When it's time for Gabriel to go to bed, he's like, where's dad? Anything that happens, like, where's dad? And Perry sometimes like, does he even love me? I say, he loves you, baby, he loves you. He just doesn't know how to show it yet. You understand the difference? Just because someone says it doesn't mean anything until they show it. Just because you say you love God doesn't mean anything until you show it.
Come on.
Just because you say you love your family doesn't mean anything until you show it. Just because you say I love my job or I love whatever it is God has called me to do, I love my ministry, doesn't mean anything until you show it, until you act on it. Rizpah demonstrated her love by sitting out there for 5 months. Let me tell you, someone else who has these same qualities that we need to have in our life is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was devoted. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God so loved the world. God is so devoted to you. Christ is so devoted to you that he was able to give up stuff because he loves you so much. He's willing to do anything to bring you back. He's willing to do anything to have you be a part of who he is. Next thing that God is God is determined. He lets nothing faze him. I love in Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus is praying and he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." He's there in the garden. He's getting ready to be murdered. And Jesus says, "Look, I really don't want to have to do this." He has every opportunity to quit at that point. He can run away. He can hide. All throughout the New Testament, we see people come try and get Jesus before his time. And the Bible says he just walks away and they can't grab him. He's got every opportunity to run. He's got every opportunity to call down angels to protect him. But he says, "I will not be deterred, even by my own feelings. Even by my own fear, I will not be deterred. Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus was determined to fight for you and to fight for me. I like in Romans 8, chapter 38 through 39. Verses 38 through 39. Paul says there, He talks about us being separated from the love of God and how it just can't really happen. Verse 38 says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is determined. He is devoted to you and he is determined to keep you. He is determined to get you. And then he's determined to keep you. We need to understand that today. God doesn't want to throw you out. I just prayed with the lady down at the park today. It was amazing. I love preaching at the park for Jim. If you've never been down there, you need to go down there. Just hang out with him for a little bit. I'm down there at Lynn Park this morning. I'm preaching the word. And it's not like this, where everybody's all right here. Bro, I'm preaching to people like 100 yards away. I got a couple cats behind me falling asleep, which isn't that much different than here, but I got people all around me just kind of in different phases of life and in different phases of sanity, you know, and being awake or not awake. And I'm preaching the word this morning. And as I'm preaching, man, there's this lady probably, how far away is that fountain, Jim? Probably 50 yards away. That fountain is pretty good ways back there. She's sitting at this fountain. Man, I get done with my sermon. I give the altar call. I say, "If you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, I want you to come on down here." Man, I see this lady stand up. Boom. And she's sitting with somebody. Leaves that person there. And I see her walking. She comes all the way down to me. And when she gets to me, she is just crying. She gets to me. I put my arms around her. She goes, "I've done a lot of bad stuff." I said, "Baby, God doesn't care what you did. God could care less about your past. All he cares about is right now." That's right. "And where we go from here." Can I tell you something? Even in a park, even when you're messed up and you've done a lot of bad stuff, he is determined to come get you. Even if that means sending some bald-headed preacher out to the park to preach for you. He is determined to get you out of where you are. And then he's determined to hold on to you as long as he can. Nothing will separate us. The last thing is this, is Jesus Christ demonstrated his love for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us that while we were yet sinners, while we were messed up, while we were jacked up, when we didn't care about him and we didn't know him, he died for us." My mama demonstrated her love for me not in fixing me food every day, not in buying me clothes, not in making sure I got to school. My mama demonstrated her love for me in that while I wasn't necessarily showing her love all the time, she was in her bedroom with the door closed praying her guts out for me. She demonstrated her love for me. Rizpah demonstrated her love when her boys could give her nothing back. She demonstrated her love by sacrificing all that she had, sacrificing her royal lifestyle in order to sit out there and fight for her babies. Jesus Christ demonstrates his love for you in that he gave up heaven to come down to earth, to take on human form, to die on a cross and be raised again, all for you when you didn't care anything about him. when I didn't care anything about him. That's how much he loves us. He demonstrates that love for us. Let me give you the last thought today. And that is this. The Bible says that Rizpah went out and took her sackcloth and laid it down on a rock. Laid it down on a rock, and that's where she made her home. Some Bible scholars say that she might have even used that sackcloth as a makeshift tent on that rock, just something that she could have gotten under every so often to get a little bit of shade. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this. He says, listen, if you'll listen to these words that I'm speaking to you today, and you will set them as a foundation of your life, if you will use them as a rock and build your life upon it, that no matter what the weather may happen, no matter what birds or beasts may come, you will live. You will live. Let me tell you something today. You look at these things. I gave you three little thoughts: devoted, determined, and demonstrated. I told you today that Christ did those things, Rizpah did those things, and I'm telling you right now, you need to do those things. You need to devote yourself to what God has called you to your family, to your ministry. You need to devote yourself to Christ. You need to be determined. Don't let anything pull you away from what God has called you to do. And then you need to demonstrate that love. You need to demonstrate that devotion and that determination by sacrifice, by lifestyle, by what you do and how you are. But the only way you can do that is if you build your life on the rock. The only way you do that is if you build your life on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Rizpah built her life for 5 months on the rock of Jesus Christ. And then she said to the world, she said to the animals, she said to the birds, she said, I dare you to come get my boys. I dare you to take my family. I dare you to take my calling. I dare you to take my blessing. I'm on the rock and I can withstand anything. Jesus said, you build your life on me. Even if a hurricane comes, you'll still be there when it's over. I walked through my house the other day, Wednesday. I took lunch off and my goal is on Wednesdays to fast during lunch, but in our office is so small, it's hard, man. You hear everything, you see everything, and I just said, I got to get out of here for a minute. So I went home, and as I'm at home, I'm thinking about Rizpah. I'm thinking about her fighting off all this stuff, and I got to thinking about all the attacks of the enemy on my kids. I got to thinking about world culture and how the world's going to talk to my kids about what's right and wrong. How the world's going to tell my kids what's right and wrong with their sexuality, what they should and shouldn't do. How the world's going to tell my kids that it's really all about their choice with how they live their life. And it's all about what they want to do. There is nothing that's going to really send you to hell or send you to heaven. I got to thinking about how the world's going to deal with my kids, all the birds and the beasts that are going to come against my family. I got to thinking about everything my wife might endure at her job and the different pulls that she may have on her at her job. And I got to thinking, God, there's not going to be a bird or a beast come against my family without a fight. And I began to walk through my house and I began to pray. And I walked into my boys' room and I began to pray over my boys. I laid hands on their beds and I prayed for my kids. And I walked into my daughter's room and I began to pray for my little princess. And I began to believe God over her life that she's going to be protected and Dad is not going to let birds and beasts come against her. I went into my bedroom and I laid hands on my wife's side of the bed. And I began to pray for my wife. And I just determined in myself, I will place myself on a rock for 5 months if I have to, for a lifetime if I have to, but I will protect my family and what God has given me. We've got to be determined, folks. We can't let our kids, we can't let our calling, we can't let our Christianity go without a fight. The enemy's going to come against you like a flood. What are you going to do? You going to be on the rock today? You going to stand up? You going to fight him off? That's what I hope we're going to do today. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes on me today? Bow your heads. Nobody looking around.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.